Come with me in your Bibles this evening. The book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel in chapter 13. We've been working our way through the book of Ezekiel. It's been slow for the most part. At times it's been slower, and at times it's been just slow. But there's been much here and much to think about as we've studied the book. We're in the 13th chapter. And as we looked at this 13th chapter, remember we said it's divided up in the first 16 verses, talking about the false prophets and the judgment that is to befall those false prophets. And then from verse 17 through verse 23, the end of the chapter, is dealing with false prophetesses who were doing the same thing, maybe delving more into what we might say today, the occult world. But nonetheless, they were prophetesses, and they were not speaking the truth to the people. As we looked at the false prophets, we looked at, first of all, God's condemnation of the false prophets. And in that, we have been looking at the thought of God's indictment against them, or His charge against them. Mind you, He's telling this to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is to speak these words, the words of the Lord, the words of God, to those false prophets. And we saw that His first charge against them, His first indictment, was that their message is false. They are false prophets. They, as a prophet, they should have been sent by God, and therefore had the words of God. But God says He did not send them, and they speak not my words. And we have prophets like that today. They're not called of God to be in the ministry. And they manifest that by the fact they have not the words of God. They are speaking today that which pleases the people. The same as the false prophets in Ezekiel's day did, spoke those things which pleased the people. They had an ulterior motive, as our preachers today, so-called, have an ulterior motive. It is for what they might profit, what they can profit from it. He called them, said they were just like the foxes, foxes in the desert. You can just imagine a fox in the desert. food's not plentiful in the desert. So foxes would run helter-skelter all over the place and scavenging and looking for food. Anything that they could find that might be suited to their appetite. And the likeness there was as to Israel, to Jerusalem, to the captives being exiled to a land of waste, a desert land. And these false prophets going about scavenging for whatever glory they could bring to themselves. And they did that by tickling the ears of the people and speaking the things that people wanted to hear. We come to verse 5 tonight, 13th chapter and verse 5. And we'll be looking, at least tonight, to the fact that they failed to repair the wall. They failed to repair the breaks in the walls thereof. Let's read verse 5 tonight. Ye have not gone up. This is an indictment brought against the false prophets. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They failed to repair the breaks, the holes in the wall, so to speak. The word gap here means a break. It means a breach. The words made up mean you've not closed up. You've not closed up those breaks that are in the wall, those holes which are in the wall. Hedge here is simply the likeness of a fence, a wall around. The city of Jerusalem, many of their cities were fortified and they had walls about them. And those walls were kept up because that kept the enemy out. You see, these prophets which are not God's prophets, these prophets which are like foxes in the desert, they have done nothing to shore up the wall. They have done nothing to make the wall strong. They have done nothing to make it, to strengthen it. And thus making the wall complete and keeping it complete, keeping it fortified against the enemy. And therefore, they've not done anything to prepare the people to be able to stand in the day of battle, in the day of the Lord. As our verse says, the day of God's judgment. I want you to look at two passages of Scripture in comparison of this thought. The first one is in the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms in 106. Psalms 106 and verse 22 and 23. Wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. This is Israel at the foot of Mount Horeb, when Moses went up into the mount, received the commandments of God, came down out of the mount, because there was the sound of war in the camp. And God told Moses that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, had not Moses stood before him in the gap, in the gap that was there, before the Lord, to fortify the people against the day of the Lord, against the day of the Lord's wrath. He said to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. That's what God is charging these false prophets in Ezekiel's day with. Moses came down out of the mount. He saw the sin of the people. He saw the judgment of God, the wrath of God coming upon them. And he stood in the gap. He stood in the break and fortified the wall against them. He pleaded on their behalf. He, first of all, he corrected them of their sin, and he made them to drink from the waters of their sin, and thus sparing the people total annihilation. Now many of them fell that day. Many of them fell that day because of their sin and wickedness. But God told Moses that he would destroy them and start all over with Moses. And Moses stood in the gap. Turn with me back to the book of Ezekiel now. And look with me here at chapter 22. And this is being told to, again, Ezekiel. And it's concerning the people in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem, Judah, the Jews. In verse 30, God says this to Ezekiel, "And I sought for a man among them, among the Jews, any man. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, that should make up the wall, that should close up the walls, close up the breaks in the wall, and stand in the gap before me for the land." For the people, for the land. God's judgment is coming upon them. He's bringing judgment upon them. He's gonna lay the land waste. And God says, I sought for a man, any man among them, to make up the breaks, close up the wall. But he found none, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. But I found none. Now if you're like me, You've probably heard many messages on a man to stand in the gap, from taken from this verse. But this has direct application to what we're looking at here in the book of Ezekiel and the false prophets, and any man that would call them out on their sin, correct them of their sin, and thus avert the judgment of God upon them, thus averting a total annihilation. The one-third by pestilence and famine, one-third by the sword, and the other third scattered among the nations. But he found none. Listen, sin makes wide gaps in the defenses of a people. Sin will make wide gaps of in a church. Churches will be destroyed because of sin left go, not corrected. It deprives them of God's protection and exposes them to the assaults of their enemies. In other words, sin left go creates breaks in the defenses. God allows the enemy to come in and to destroy. These false prophets did nothing to help. They were concerned only about themselves. What would we say? What should we say? They were blind. They were blind. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. And immediately your mind ought to go, because Isaiah preceded Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So immediately your mind ought to go, okay, this is back in Isaiah's day. And Isaiah prophesied in the days of who? Hezekiah. But the book of Isaiah in chapter 56. And look with me here at verse 10. Well, let's read verse 9 as well. All ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. That's when he charged his watchmen. Who were the watchmen? Not the prophets to be the watchmen? They were to be the watchmen. They were to see the danger coming. They were to see the judgment of God coming. And they were to warn the people. They were to call them out on their sin and warn them. It's pretty strong language here in this verse. They're blind. They're all dumb dogs. Cannot bark. I got a dog that's getting old. Still can bark occasionally. It takes a lot more to get her to bark anymore. But she still can bark occasionally. But she sleeps a lot, doesn't she, Sister Kim? She does a lot of sleeping. That's what he says about these prophets. Look with me to the book of Matthew. And I know that's the wrong chapter. Just looking at it. I think I want chapter 15. I'm sure I want chapter 15. It was supposed to be 15. Matthew chapter 15. Look with me here at verse, let's go back up here. Verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Well, isn't that what a picture of what we have here in Ezekiel, the 13th chapter? These false prophets and what they did? They were manifesting that they were blind. They were not the prophets of God. They weren't sent by God. They didn't have God's message. And all they were doing was leading those blind people that had gone astray, had not gone after God, had gone into idolatry. And they were leading them. Shall not they both fall into this? Shall not they both, the leaders, the blind leaders and the blind, fall into destruction? That's what God's telling Ezekiel. It's what he told his disciples in that 15th chapter of Matthew concerning the Pharisees, who were supposed to be religious leaders of the people. They said they're blind. they're leaders of the blind. And they're both going to fall in the ditch. They're going to both fall into destruction. They should have at least made intercession. Intercession on the behalf of the people, in an effort to turn away the wrath of God. But see, they were blind. They didn't see it coming. They were more concerned about padding their pocketbook. What profit they could get. They should have been as Abraham. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis in chapter 20. Abraham had a problem, you know. He was fearful of what he perceived to be powerful kings. But yet, on another occasion, when his nephew Lot was taken captive and his goods, he wasn't afraid of those five kings that took him captive. He got 350 men, servants of his own house, born in his house, and went out and delivered Lot from their hand. But again, we find Abraham journeying toward the south country, and that was between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. You know what happened here. And Abimelech. And he said his wife, Sarah, was his sister, and she said, yeah, I'm he's my brother. Look at verse 7. Well, verse 6. And God said unto him, that is under Abimelech, in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. where I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. He shall pray for thee, for Abimelech and for the constituents of Gerar, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Well, we find that goes on that, and Abimelech restores Sarah to first he tells all the people that are around him, and his king, he tells them, don't you lay hand on her. She's Abraham's wife. Don't you touch her. She's forbidden fruit. And then he restores Sarah to Abraham and said, how could you do this to me? How could you bring this evil upon me? What did you see? What have I done against you to do this? Well, look at verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bear children. So it seems as though the curse that came upon them was barrenness. He was going to wipe them out by them not ever bearing any children again, if so be. But the man restored Abraham's wife to him, Sarah to him. Abraham did just as God said he would do and prayed for him, and their wounds were opened again. That's what these false prophets should have done. That's what any good minister of the Lord will do. He'll see the sin. He'll warn people to turn from their sin. For the judgment of God is going to come upon you if you don't. And he prays for them. But not these false prophets. They should have been sounding the warning and calling upon the people to repent. Look at back to the book of Ezekiel again. And we're look at two passages way far ahead of where we're going to be anytime soon. But the 33rd chapter. The 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. You look with me here, beginning with verse 2. Well, read verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. The man who, the watchman did what he was supposed to do. The man heard the warning, but he did not take heed. His blood's on his own head then, not on the watchman's head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will be required at the watchman's hand. You see, he's going to die for his iniquity, but his blood is going to be upon the watchman's head. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Ezekiel was called to do that, to be a faithful watchman and deliver the warning. Now these false prophets should have. God had sent word. He had sent word by the mouth of Isaiah. He had sent word by the mouth of Jeremiah. And now he is sending word by the mouth of Ezekiel. And they just laughed at it, scorned it. And they said, what Jeremiah is prophesying, that ain't going to happen. It's going to be a short duration. Babylon's going to be overthrown within 2 years, and we're going to be set free. Just the opposite of what God had said and given. You see, they should have sounded the warning. They should have taken the word of the true prophets. They should have sounded the warning to the people. You see, if they had of, and as any good watchman will do, it would have made up the heads. It would have repaired the breaks in the wall, and thus strengthening the wall against the day of judgment and the day of battle. But they were concerned how they might please the people. They cared more about how they might please the people. The people said, speak smooth things unto us. And that's what these false prophets did. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, even Daniel didn't speak smooth things. They spoke the word of the Lord. They were more concerned for themselves. Who is on the Lord's side? There's a song that we sing. Not in this hymn book. I'm not sure if it's in the favorite hymns of praise or not. Who's on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? Basically, who will stand in the gap? Make up the hedge? Who will rise up for me against evildoers? Saying, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know what Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 13 and verse 3 and 5? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's to be our message today to folks. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. In chapter 32. I hope I got this right. It's not looking right, but I hope it is. Exodus 32 and look at verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Who's on the Lord's side? Come unto me, the Lord says. Stand with me. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 94. Psalms 94. Look with me here at verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will rise up against those in sin? Against those who do wickedly and do sin? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? You see, you and I are called to stand up against sin, to stand up against evil and against wickedness. We're to preach, repent. Repent, except ye repent, ye shall perish. Repent. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I know. Because he saved this sinner. You see, they gave the people a false hope, according to verse 6. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, "The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them," and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. You see, they gave them a false hope. A false hope. It wasn't a sure hope. It wasn't a grounded hope. It wasn't a steadfast hope. They proclaimed a false message. They proclaimed an outright lie. They made others to expect, "Don't worry, don't worry. Everything's going to be okay." Isn't that what sinners, wicked sinners, unsaved sinners are being told today? "Don't worry, everything will be all right. Jesus loves you. And he's not a God of wrath. He's not a God of judgment. But he's a God of love." Well, I stand here before you tonight and I say I'm glad he's a God of love. But I know from His Word also that He is a God of wrath, a God of judgment. And His wrath will come upon the workers of iniquity. They're telling people that everything's going to be peace. It'll be okay. Even though they continue in their trespasses. You see, there's no call to repentance. There's no call to repent. We ought to be calling men and women, boys and girls, the truth. We ought to be calling them to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ. So these false prophets of today give people a false hope. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You probably know where we're going with this. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." You see, they're just seeking whom they may devour, seeking self-gratification for themselves, caring nothing about the masses. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And there are many today, because they're deceived by these false prophets of today, are going to stand there and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and He's coming back soon. Men, women, boys, and girls need to be warned. Need to be warned that everything won't be all right if they persist on in their sin. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They've been called into the grace of Christ. And they're mixing it with another gospel, works, which is not grace. That's what he's saying. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what these false prophets are doing today. They pervert the gospel. They're deceiving men and women and saying that all you got to do is do enough good works. And it'll tip the scales in your favor. God says there's nothing good that you can do to satisfy my justice. Repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that satisfies His justice. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. In other words, what he's saying, it's all of grace plus or minus nothing. And we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is by grace, plus or minus nothing. No works whatever will benefit any man for heaven. We ought to be telling others that. Of the grace of God that will come upon them through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith? And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Well, we must stop there this evening.